needing to be recognized and reaffirmed and identified and seen. Herb's just cool being Herb.
Herb is.
He doesn't need any affirmation from anybody else.
Herb is a soothsayer.
Yeah.
He'll,
you're right.
He'll warn you about the Ides of March. That's how I view Herb.
And
ahead of his
of the
time.
Ides. Yes, Lawrence Holmes is ready to go. Here he is. Hello, sir.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. I have a suggestion you should add to your music because I was listening to you guys at the beginning of the show today.
Why, yes.
It's by a group called Abasa Electrica called A Sol a Luz do Sol. It's a samba cover of Roy Ayers' Sunshine.
Ooh.
How did you come across this?
Jazzy Jeff mixtape.
Of course.
Because, you know, Jeff rocks the body that rocks the party. So he throws stuff at you. And I was in Arizona, like listening to it. And I'm like, man, this is what I'm here for. Cause I mean, I love pretty much any, like that song itself, the Roy Ayers song is amazing on its own. But then you take the Mary J. Blige, you know, cover with My Life and it's great. But you add this to it. It is a party in a 5-minute song. It's fantastic.
We'll take it under advisement. We should put together like the mental health playlist.
Mental pacifier.
On Spotify. We should do that.
For Layla Wednesdays. Yeah, we could just put that in there. We can go to it as needed.
Specifically today. Like I definitely had the Meek Mill inspiration a couple weeks ago. And I do have a Meek Mill playlist on my Instagram stories for those of you who need a cardio rage session.
So let me give you this list, Lawrence Holmes. This is left to right. Charles Leno Jr., Alex Bars, Aaron Neary, Arlington Hambright, Rashad Coward, backed up by Lechavius Pig Simmons and or Badara Traore and Dieter Iselin.
Sounds great.
Sounds
like a thing.
Football.
Sounds like a thing that the Bears are going to try and do.
I guess.
That's awesome.
I've never
if your
seen
run
like
game
this.
Wasn't bad enough, then you can just kind of... run everyone. Arlington Hambright. He's one of their drafts. He's one of their 7-rounders, right? One of those
yep.
those two guys, Lechavius
yep.
and Arlington Heights, whatever.
Arlington
yeah,
Heights.
No, apparently there was a rule that 7th-round offensive line draft picks had to be a minimum number of syllables for Ryan Pace. So that's why you end up with Arlington Hambright and Lechavius Pig Simmons.
It's a lovely like name.
It. Classy.
It is classy, and it's going to be interesting to see them try to make all of this work. Like, it's just a lot. Like, it's the more you think about it, the more doomed the Bears feel like. Like, it seems as if everything is now conspiring against them, whereas before, things were working in their favor. And now, it just seems like, oh, yeah, all of that, that duct tape that you were using to kind of get yourself to 5-1, it's all going to fall apart now. And now you have to lean on your best players, I guess. And then identifying your best players becomes difficult. And it's going to be a very interesting Sunday against the Titans in Nashville because those dudes, after starting, same thing, they started off really well and they looked scary. They looked scarier than the Bears. But they've lost 2, and they looked terrible last week, which puts some concern in my breakdown of this matchup for your beloved.
Yeah, and I know that you and Joe Ostrowski are big on the explosive run defense for the Bears, and I think that there may be no better test of that than what's going to happen on Sunday.
Yeah, the big man. You got to try and get Derrick Henry on the ground, and as it stands, I hadn't checked the but they gave up a bunch of they gave up a few more explosive run plays. So explosive run plays are run plays of 12 yards or more, mm-hmm. and the Bears are the league leader in giving those up. And now you talk about a guy that it's hard to get him on the ground with
roll
just
damn
one.
Time, baby.
So you better believe it. With just one tackler, although. If you look over the last couple of weeks, it's not impossible to do it. And it seems I don't have any data to back this up, but it seems like these are the types of games where because there's a big target and everyone is hyper aware of what it is that Derrick Henry does, then maybe you get a better performance because you're more focused in on it. But looking at it, and I look at the athleticism, both Henry and Tannehill, not Chris Tannehill, not that he's not athletic, But Ryan Tannehill, that combination with their receivers that are starting to really blossom, I feel it could be problematic for the Bears on Sunday unless we see this offense start to shine. And there's an opportunity here. And this is where I end up going every week. Like after I start watching games, after I start breaking down the tape, even last week is like, there's an opportunity for the Bears to beat the Saints. And I thought that they were on that path to doing it. But then something gets in the way and it's usually talent.
Right. It's usually what gets in the way, not being good at football.
Yeah.
And it's usually talent.
Just not good.
It's just discouraging.
And Layla, Joey Pants, he's the captain from the Bad Boys series.
I just hadn't put it together. My brain isn't there. I'm really running on 2 hours of sleep.
Aren't we all? I actually, you know, I got out yesterday and it was great. Like I went for a walk and the new place is not far from, I can walk to Soldier Field from here.
Hey.
So I went over and walked over to the Adler, which is, I think, the, if you really just want to enjoy the lake,
love
and
that
downtown,
walk. Love that,
that
walk.
That view is amazing. Like it's really, really amazing. So I sat there for a little bit and then made the mistake of watching all the stuff last night and then not trusting myself. I was like, no, I'll just go to bed because nothing's going to be resolved.
That's what I did.
Just go to bed.
That's what I did.
For weeks.
I did not.
For weeks.
Yeah, stay in bed for weeks, right?
You know, no, but we knew this was going to happen for weeks, and then it's just so hard to not watch and react real time. It is.
You're right.
It's human
Layla,
nature.
You're 100% right. Like it's, and especially as politics has been sportsized, the more for people like us, like we're looking at it and we're like, okay, so you know, you're trying to figure all this stuff out, and it feels like a sports thing than it does actual like American politics, and you're like, well, I can't shut off the game now. The game's getting close. I can't shut it off now. I've got to see how this thing ends. And meanwhile, we're gonna have to wait 10 days because you got to wait 10 days for recounts and whatnot and all that good stuff. But I will tell you that I did the self-care thing this morning. I stayed up late and then got up early because that is, I want to do that. And then went and got myself some pancakes from Valoy in Hyde Park.
Nice.
And went right back to sleep. But then I got up and I went for a run. Ran into Val Warner on the streets of Chicago this morning.
Was she going to work?
I think so.
Yeah,
she was all Gucci'd out. So, I
nice.
Mean, I wasn't. I felt like a bum. But, you know, I was getting that work in.
How are you going to be handling today, Lawrence?
Today, I'm going to talk with Eric Edholm at 12:40, because I don't know how they're allowing this Thursday night game to happen, considering what's going on in the 49ers locker room, but it's still on. And there's some other NFL stuff that I want to do with him. I want to do some big picture stuff. I want to talk about the fall of the Patriots. Cole Wright, for his weekly visit, we'll talk Bears, and I want to talk with him about the Gold Glove winners over on the Cubs. And I heard you guys talking about it, and I'm with you. I need baseball to be smarter about all of this stuff with their awards. Like, was there not anyone in Chelsea Pier that was like, you know what? Perhaps we shouldn't do the Gold Glove awards on the day of the election. Perhaps it would be a bad idea.
Maybe they were thinking it was going to be decided or people would have an alternate route to turn to. There's just no way of knowing.
It really, but the whole thing is bizarre to me. And I hate that that's one of the things that baseball is super old timey about and they won't let go of it. So I want to try and do some, we'll crowdsource it and see if we can figure out a better way for MLB to give away their awards.
Well, so, the one thing they did right was they made it metric.
I disagree with you on that. I heard you and Layla talking about that. And here's what I don't like about that. I'm someone that feels like you have to marry the objective and the subjective. And I don't care what the metric said. There is no way that Yasmani Grandal belonged on a Gold Glove catcher list.
Well, because it's framing.
I know. But then look at the other stuff that he can't do. And that's why the SDI to me isn't encompassing enough, because if you watched a little bit of Yasmani Grandal, you know that he is not a Gold Glove worthy catcher.
See, I would like for frame, that's really a framing debate, I think. I mean, I wouldn't mind for framing to not be a thing. I wouldn't mind that the exploiting human inability shouldn't be something that matters as much as it does in baseball. And eventually we won't have that human ability to exploit. But as long as umpire fooling is a valuable skill, it's one of the most valuable things a catcher does.
I agree, but there were times this particular season that he literally didn't catch the ball.
Yep, like the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're looking at the pass balls from him, if him boxing the ball routinely as a catcher, plays at the plate this year where he just missed the ball, that the ball was thrown to him and he has a catcher's mitt and they were like, Yasmani, if you catch this ball, the guy's going to be out. And then he drops it, or the pop flies that he can't locate, the extra outs that he allows because he can't do the other stuff as well as he does the pitch framing. That's why, to me, it bothers me a little bit that I understood why they did it. It'd be difficult to add in the human component this year, but any White Sox fan that watched Yasmani Grandal catch was throwing up anytime that he wasn't framing, and sometimes when he was trying to frame, and that's why he ends up getting past balls or catcher's interference calls, because he's trying to snatch pitches away and then he gets hit in the hand with a bat.
Mm. You're not wrong.
Compelling argument.
You are absolutely not wrong. It just shows you how important framing is and what it does to it make you more likely to get outs and add those things up in run prevention. Lawrence, we'll get out of your way, and you can have a joyful Wednesday.
Bye, guys. I'll see you.
Bye.
Good luck, Lawrence.
That is Dan Bernstein and Layla Rahimi. Dan's on from 9 a.m. until noon, Monday through Fridays. And then on Wednesday, Layla comes and hangs out with him and brightens up the place, which is a good, good thing. This hour is being brought to you by Cars for Kids. Call 1-877-CARS with a K, the number 4, kids. Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
And I also think that we all need to stop being married to Matt Nagy's offense. Because let's be real, what has Matt Nagy's offense brought you since 2018? We keep defaulting to, well, Foles needs to be out there because that guy knows the offense. Great. He's thrown 7 interceptions since being inserted as the starter of this team. He's 2-3, and he makes some of the mistakes that you go, wow, a veteran guy that's seen it all, that's played big-time playoff football, makes mistakes like that? Those are the mistakes that you're supposed to be getting away from. You're supposed to be getting away from making those oh my god interceptions or taking those oh my god sacks. And Foles does that. But I think that all of us, like, we genuflect at the idea of Matt Nagy's offense. Let's be real. Matt Nagy's offense sucks. So I don't know if we should hold anyone to the standard of, well, can they play in Matt Nagy's offense? Since week 12 of 2018, that offense hasn't been very impressive and doesn't deserve this kind of respect that we're giving it. Perhaps he needs to adapt to the personnel instead of trying to continuously make the personnel adapt to his offense.
Make me a bicycle clown!
That guy is pretty smart. Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes. I'm here with you until 2 o'clock today. Here's what we have planned for you. Eric Edholm is going to join me at 12:40. We are going to talk Bears and NFL overall with him. We like talking with E. He's a good man and thorough. Cole Wright is going to join me at 1 o'clock. We've been talking with Cole once a week now about the show that he does, the Bear Essential show that he does on Marquee Tuesday nights. And since Cole also does a lot of Cubs stuff, I want to get his thoughts on the two Cubs that won Gold Gloves. Congratulations to Javier Baez and Anthony Rizzo. And congratulations to Luis Robert, who I imagine will win more and more. There's not a lot of holes in his defense You do have to wonder if he learns how to go back on the ball at the wall. That's the one thing that I think that he could probably get better at. And we will delve into Luis Robert as a defender coming up a little bit later in the show. The phone number is 312-644-6767. If you'd like to call us or text us, that's the number that you would use. Shout out to everyone who is on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670, The Score. We hang out there. If you're on Twitch and you just want to watch, like today I'm wearing my Chicago versus everybody t-shirt. So if you want to see what's going on, and I've got the Ryzen desk now, so I can just kind of hang out and do the show standing up, and I usually will lower it when I do interviews. So it feels more and more like the studio every day that I'm doing the show. I'm glad that you are here for the ride. I want to talk about the Bears and the dire straits that they are in. I wish I would have thought of this earlier, Herbie, but we need Simi from Coming to America going to ask for the $300,000. From King Jaffe Jaffer, because that's the dear sire. We are in dire straits. That is what's going on with the Bears and their offensive line. If you hadn't heard, Bobby Massey had been moved to short-term IR. He can return in a few weeks. Spriggs and Ifedi are on the reserve COVID list because Spriggs has COVID and Ifedi plays next to him. So with the contact tracing, he has to sit down or at least be put on the list too. Oh, and also the Bears released Ted Ginn Jr. because he wasn't really doing anything. He was inactive. And when he was active, he was supposed to be returning punts, but he was afraid to return punts. And because of him being afraid to return punts, Johnny Hecker was NFC Player of the Week, and he ended up being NFC Special Teams Player of the Month. This is seriously problematic for the Bears as they get ready for this game against the Titans. And what is every week for them since they were 5-1? Like, you can probably let the Rams game slide if you come back and you win the game against the Saints. But once you lost that game to the Rams, the Saints game becomes the biggest game of the year. You lose the game to the Saints. Guess what? Now the game against the Titans becomes the biggest game of the year. And that's where the Bears are. Herbie, I want to ask you a question. It's a football-related question. You ready?
Yep.
How many yards per carry, if you had to guess, what would you say Cordarrelle Patterson's average per carry is?
3 yards per carry.
That's pretty good. You should hit the thing because you almost nailed it. 2.9 yards per carry for Cordarrelle Patterson. All right, let me ask you this. How many yards per reception do you think that Cordarrelle Patterson is averaging?
He's a receiver, backfield, I would say like 8, 9.
6. The man's averaging 6 yards per reception and under 3 yards per carry. Granted, it's hard for anyone to run in the Bears offense because of some of the things that I pointed out just a minute ago. Offensive line's hurt, bad, or has COVID, and anyone who tries to run is going to struggle. The reason that I point out Cordarrelle Patterson, and I don't want him to take offense to this because I think that he is an extremely valuable piece on a team because of what he does on special teams. And I know that there were some people who had a problem with him having some bad returns on Sunday. He also popped a big 31-yard return last week. He plays gunner. He's one of your best guys in coverage on special teams. So I want to make sure that I lay out his credentials as a player because I think that he has a role and I think that his role is valuable. They've been experimenting with him for the last two seasons as, well, you know what? You got a guy that can make plays, get the ball in his hands, and watch him work. Has it really even worked out? Not really. You look at what his contributions are to your offense and when you do put him out there, how seen you are by defenses. How the defense gets to go, oh, I know exactly what's getting ready to happen because this personnel unit is in. Why is Cordarrelle Patterson in the backfield? Oh, I know why he's back there. I know exactly what's going on.